relational. They keep us looking forward. They are full of hope. Father, we're going to read here in Colossians, those words are not easily kept right here as we live. They are something to be fought for. They are something to be built deep inside our hearts. You have given us provision so that those words can be lived, because they aren't just words. They are your words. Father, I pray that you would help those professing to be your people to make use of the provision that you have given us, so that we can sing that not only as a goal, but as a growing reality and the base from which we live our lives down here. We come together today to worship. Some of that is the overflow of hearts, and when it, the healthier it is, it's where we have been all week on mission with you, following Jesus. But all of us need to be reminded of these things, and we worship you by lifting up your words and cleaning out our focus so that we live not for the things which are seen and the things which are unseen. So, Father, would you help your people today, right now, as we do the work of finding out what you've called us to do and where we stand in relationship with that. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen. You're in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, as we've been talking about healthy churches known for loving God, loving their neighbor. The germ that leads to this is following Jesus, being a disciple, helping others follow Jesus, being a disciple maker. What does that making disciples of Jesus include? And right at the top of that is how you follow Jesus is how you will help others to follow Jesus. So we looked at passages like Colossians 1, but I want us to go back, and I can't read all of it, so let's just start at verse 15 of chapter 1 with Jesus. Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. Go back to verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made minister. Gospel. Back. He rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Could you sum up what's involved in the gospel in verses 13 to 22? Don't want to sit here all morning. I want you to sum it up in very few words. So you can't give me all of it. Just tell me in 13 to 22, what do you see in there, Jim?
What sort of hit me square in the face was verse 18b, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything.
Everything. Everything. Yep. Nope. Give me enough. That's it. I just want summaries. Quick. What do you see? Brad, just say it.
Everything through verse 20 seems to be qualifications for why Jesus is able to do what he's described to do in verse 22.
Okay. In verse 22. And verse 13 and verse 14, up to there, there's qualifications for why he is able to do and also for what it means to the kingdom of his beloved son. It's like you're in his kingdom and now you learn about who he is. That's who he is. That's whose kingdom you're in. You're not just in a kingdom of love. You're in the kingdom of that kind of love, that person. Anything else? 13 to 22? Pastor?
Right at the beginning of implication, we need to be rescued.
Okay. I'm going to come back to that part as we move to the next part. All right? Stan, we need to be rescued.
Sorry.
No, here we go.
Just looking at verse 19.
Down, Brian.
A little lower. There by the Father's good pleasure, one for the fullness to dwell in him, He chose Christ. He wanted Christ to be that. It was good pleasure to him. Okay. But then through him to reconcile things to himself, which speaks to me in like that combination of the Father's good pleasure also seems to be implicated in the desire for reconciliation to happen through his creation through Christ. Like, but that he ordered those things according to his good pleasure. But then because of that and who Christ is, then we have a responsibility there, then later verses 22 to 23, that it goes that because of the pleasure, but we still have a responsibility to present people before him holy and blameless, which that's Christ's part. Sorry about that. But if we continue in the faith, then, like, just because it's the Father's good pleasure, we can't separate it from the responsibility, even though it pleases him. Like, there's things we also need to do to continue, but we can continue because of his faithfulness in Christ, of who Christ is.
Okay. So get the first part, okay? Because I'm telling you, these are the hard words. We are failing his task as a church because we are not discipling as the primary job inside the church. We're not. We're failing. You go, I disagree with you. I think you're wrong. You're harsh. You're sharp. I think it's true. Your answer lies in who he is, like Brad was saying, and what he's doing, and the center not being on you succeeding or failing. The center here is Christ, all right? Colossians has been called the preeminence of Christ. Preeminence, first, over everything. Who is this Christ? Okay? And then you start seeing his power. You start seeing the fullness of this Christ. Okay? You see the Father's good pleasure, like Stan said. The Father's good pleasure. See, the attention is on him, not just what he did for us. He did. And that's why I'm going to come to that. I'm going to come to what Stan said. But when you sum it all up in one sentence, you stop, you miss. All of a sudden, we say, well, I don't know. I don't agree with you. Different interpretation. I don't know. I don't agree. No, stop. The center is on the otherness of God and of us not being in the same league with this one and their relationship with each other, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You see that? I don't want to sit in here, but then at that time, now I want to talk about, Pastor John said, in 13, he rescued us. Everything that he is, we are not. And everywhere he exists, his kingdom is full of acknowledging his supremacy, his power, his holiness. We are not. He rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, reconciled you, so it's not just put you over there, brought you through his fleshly body. How in the world did this other than God become one of us? How did he do that? See, that should lead to worship, right? It should lead to an attitude of submission. But now what do you notice as you look at verses 23 to 2. What do you notice in there? Again, don't give it all. Say, just like Jim did, you say, well, I don't know, the first thing that hit me was, Pastor, right, you need to be continued. I'll give it to him. The established is the one coming up later in verse 7 and 8. I want to break it in here. You need to continue. This is the responsibility Stan's talking about. Meaning my biggest concern for you all is, are you in the faith? And will you continue? And continue is going to, we'll get to the roots there, like he's saying, are you established? So I think the best thing you can do is realize there's so much more than you are even, see, we look around us and we compare ourselves and we go, as long as I'm in the crowd, I'm doing okay. You can't pick, remember I've said, you cannot pick on the church in America without realizing you're part of the church in America. It doesn't matter if we're in a better church or if you're grown better than your parents, or if you're figured out something and the Lord has shown you something, we're part of the church in America. Okay? That's good as well as bad. But from that position, then my concern is that you are faithful servants of Christ. Servants. Okay? That's then followers. We are under him. Okay? So pulls out of there, continuing. Whatever happens, however it's going to happen, you have to continue. What do you get? Okay, Stan.
I just keep jumping out at me through these passages, basically work, work, work. The other reason, not just that, but, like, we never get the feel that Paul has a feeling of the comfort zone. He never talks in terms of, because I felt comfortable doing this. Like, he's talking about striving and laboring and burdening.
Right.
And it's through a ton of effort that, and I'm sure he woke up some days wishing he could stay in bed.
Yeah.
But, you know, after the beatings and whatnot, but it's like, there was something driving, like, I've been guilty of, like, well, it just didn't come naturally to say something at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get that self-deception going on of, like, we need to feel a certain way before we feel that it's right to do it or the right time. It's like, you never get any sense of that with Paul here. It's like,
he's
a workaholic.
Yes, just in here. He said it. Work, 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 work. All right? Don't balance it. If you run to all the other scriptures, you're not letting this one sit. Right inside of this section, work, 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 work. Striving. He said, I wonder if he didn't want to get up in the morning. I didn't want to get up this morning. You know, so do you want to hear about my personal life or don't you? See, what does your personal life look like with this? What is striving? Where are you striving? Okay? So I look at Andrew last night, and he was overfilling his bowl with dessert. He doesn't usually eat dessert. But I looked at him and said, hey, boy, are you okay with that? I said, you should be doing sit-ups. So he dropped right down and was doing sit-ups there. Then he went back to eating. Okay? And, all right? But is that striving? A few sit-ups? What were your spiritual sit-ups this week, today? And did they affect me, her, him? Striving, laboring, work, focus. Sandy.
28, we proclaim him admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. So the job is never done, just like he was saying, work, work, work. The job is never done.
The job is never done. Do you know the spiritual condition of every person in this room? Say you hit it with 80% accuracy, okay? 80% means you're not seeing it all right. What are you doing with that 80%? You said, well, I tried to tell them and they wouldn't listen. Well, come on, we're going to get back to that. We'll get back to that. Really? Who do you listen to? Why should they listen to you? What do you know about them? See, I think the biggest problem is we have so many guards over our heart. They go up and they go down, right? Told you, like Get Smart, right? Watch Get Smart, Maxwell Smart. The opening of that show, it shows him dropping down below ground and one gate after the next, right? Before he gets into the place where he can find out his next mission, right? And then the gates come down. That's what's going on in many of our hearts. Sometimes we realize it, you're not getting in. Sometimes we don't even realize how many layers there are between us and our soul. Present every man complete in Christ. Where does Christ reside? Yeah, in every man who says, where? See, I can see something when I look at you. What does it mean to see Christ? Christ, may they be one as we are one. I in you and they in us. Christ in you. You have died. Your life is hidden in Christ. Where is that? That's in your soul. What kind of soul maintenance have you done this week? Soul maintenance. Not did you read your Bible? That's a question. You don't read your Bible, you got problems. You don't have a life of prayer, you got problems. But what have you done for the work of your soul? How can you present any other man, woman complete in Christ when you're not working to present yourself complete in Christ? There's his established that's going to come up. Okay? So she said, the work is never done. Well, the work is never done when you start realizing, I don't even know these people. I don't care about these people. I'm annoyed at these people. I like these part of these people, but I don't even know those people. Remember I told you, look through the directory until you can say, I don't care whether you say, I don't know if this one's saved. Good. Now you're going to pray for them, for Christ to be formed in them. You say, I think this one's saved, but I know nothing about. This one gives me the creeps. This one's frustrating. This one you can't talk to. This one, so work, 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 work. For this purpose I labor and strive to present every man complete in Christ. You go, good for Paul. What do you think happens when people respond to Paul? They join him in his work. Hey, Paul, look, this one talked. This one let, this one, there's something going on in their soul, Paul. And they go, praise the Lord. And they continue. Is there another thought?
Over here. Go. Continuing with every man and work, work, work. There needs to be the willingness to suffer on behalf of God.
Of this church, I was made a minister, verse 25. What? No, 24. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Why the world is he suffering so much with these amazing people that have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved son? Why is he suffering? These people have been pulled from that black stuff, and now they're in this place where righteousness dwells. Christ is in them. Why is he suffering so much? Well, just to get them in there. That's not what it says. Who's it? Harold, go.
I'm
is that
just,
on?
Just a thought.
Yeah, go.
Just a thought. So I'm not sure, but yeah. Reading this, it says, "Striving according to His power, which mightily works within me," and it made me think of adrenaline when you know or when you're when you're running it or doing aerobics or something, and you just you've got that power within you, and that's. In comparison to my, you know, if I'm working a 12-hour shift and that last hour of work, I'm
taking dead.
One more hour. So I don't know how to get that.
Right.
But it seems like that's available for us. His power mightily works within us. So it's not. So the striving is not necessarily always drudgery. And I got to do this.
Right. All right. You got to let what he's saying stick. Instead of going, well, that's not my experience. See, I just told you I didn't want to get up this morning. You go, well, what else is going on in John David's life? Well, some you know, some I'll tell you, some you can guess. But that we're saying the Bible, God's word, is lighting our path, all right? For him, he's seeing something in there that gives energy, adrenaline to the striving. There's something in here. It seems that it's readily available. Instead of going, well, yeah, sometimes I feel the Lord. Sometimes I feel the adrenaline. I haven't felt it in a long time. Wait, we got the focus away from the preeminence of Christ. If we went back to Colossians 1, went back to Ephesians 1 and 2, you'll see Christ. How Christ-centered is your life? How Christ-driven is your life? Remember 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ constrains me. That constraint is driving. It's that force that's driving. The love, is, you go, oh, yeah, I'm just feeling secure in his love. I don't know if many of us really are, or we wouldn't be looking for security everywhere else. But if we were secure in his love, it's driving toward this mission that's never done, and they don't lose hope. It's in there. You saw that. Where was... Anybody else? Stan, go, and then Jim. Yeah, microphone. You go. Turn it up, Brian. Is that green on? It's not on, it's Brian. On. It's the other
okay.
One. There we go.
There we go. Thanks.
Go ahead.
He really seems to care about the people. And it's married to his service to Christ. He's doing it first for Christ because he's been called to do that. But, like, I struggle on your behalf and for those who are later. Like, and then regarding the Jews, is like, if it were possible, I would have myself a curse. Like, there's a real compassion, a real love for people. And for me, I tend to get guilty of knowledge puffs up. We get enamored with theology. We get enamored with doing it right. And we without that driver of really caring, it's going to be empty. And that's why we don't do it as much. We're more concerned about how I do it. Do I look right saying this? Do I, like, I don't want to, you know, do it wrong that it separates or whatever. And we're so concerned and we forget the core care that if we cared, we could muddle through the rest of it and not care as much.
You hear that?
But we don't care. We don't love.
Care is not a nice action. It's why you have your biggest fights inside of your household. You say, we don't fight. Well, whatever you have that's not holy. And you say, well, anytime we disagree is not holy. That's not what I'm seeing in this passage. I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. See, this is very personal. On your behalf. On your behalf. You're included. Who's included? That you're struggling for their soul. Well, I don't know. There's many people. See, Harold brought it up last week. He goes, well, somehow you got family's very important to me. Somehow you can't get anywhere we're talking about unless you own people. And then you go, well, is it like family or isn't it? I got a neat article I'm going to read when we can get to that, okay, about the flip side of calling church family, okay? I'm going to get to that, okay? But unless you don't just black and white it. It's either this or it's this. Somewhere you're going to have to slide the continuum over towards, yeah, it means them. It means him. It means her. Her, complete in Christ. And then you start seeing, you don't hear him going, well, three of you are growing. Woohoo. I'm concerned for all of you. You're part of the you. Remember? All right? See, back in my day when missions was so important that everybody focused on it and you had a conference every year for a week. See, you wonder. See, Dad and I'll argue not about where we're heading, but how to get there. All right? And I said, Dad, it doesn't exist. And he goes, I know. But see, this is the argument over the years. Dad, what happens if they're not seeing what we're seeing as normal? All right? Not only did you have a missions conference every week, you could have evangelistic meetings or revival meetings or whatever you wanted to call them. They were every week. You know what that meant? Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, you came for supper. Saturday, you had a morning men's thing or a woman's thing in the afternoon. Sunday, you came back for church again. You go, I can't breathe. Okay, but there's a mission in here. What's your mission? Wait, I forgot. Is it your kingdom? Or is it the kingdom of his beloved son? I don't want to be in the kingdom of his beloved son. See, that's my goal, to tell you that maybe some of us haven't bowed. And you say, if you keep talking like this bow stuff, I can't listen anymore. I get it, guys. I need to bow too. We're all going to fight this, and that's why, thank God, that Paul is running around striving to care for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And then he's putting leaders there to care for them. And then they are learning to care for each other. The kingdom of his beloved son. I rejoice. Because his joy is tied up in seeing Christ formed in these people. But then he's concerned about what? What? 2:2 to 2:8. What can you add to what's been said? We can talk on and on and on. But what can we add? Yeah, Jim. All right, forgive me. You had one on the other one. Sorry.
On the other one, I was looking at verse 25 where I got from that God is a master and Paul is a steward slash slave.
Right.
When God spoke, Paul moved. And I think the biggest opposition, it is the biggest opposition because he was developing churches, helping churches grow. The dark side, the devil himself, was caused so much suffering through people that opposed him.
Through people. All right. You see, I got a mission. I have one response, and that's to obey that mission. Okay? The mission, if you choose to accept it. Right? And that, what he said, fits into the last section, 2:2 to 2:8. What can you see? What can you add to what we've said? Anything. Don't sum it up. Say whatever seems to be in there. You go, well, I don't know. It seems that this is important. What do you see? Come on, Seth. Because of who Christ is, what?
There's great joy in all this. Like, he's rejoicing. Like, it's almost a doxology here. Because of the wealth and the knowledge of who Christ is, there's a joy going through all this of seeing the fruits of the labor come about.
All right. And he is rejoicing at what? Okay? That's the at what. Look, because there's joy there. And that's what... I don't know what you think of me and the leading. I think it's colored. One, my sinfulness is there. But two, I think it's colored by what we all view of the purpose of church and the goal of the gospel. It's colored. We have a hard time seeing through that. But I get excited when any movement happens in any of your lives. I'm excited. I don't think, bleh, they're still not there. Just thinking, Lord, anything. So I can tell you over the last week, which ones of you, I thought, yes, that. Please, God, help that to continue. That, just that. When we talk negative about each other, you go, yeah, I know you can. Yeah. I have opinions about where Christ hasn't been formed, just like you do and me. But I'll tell you where I'm excited about little steps. It's like that. Please, Lord, I don't know. I don't have pure motives. They don't have pure motives. But, Lord, that. Could that continue? He's rejoicing. What else do you see, though? Pastor?
Everything's wrapped up in Christ, the treasures, etc. But be on guard because there are so many things out there that would pull you away from Satan.
Okay. Look at, he talked about Satan working through people, all right? World, flesh, or the devil, which is worse? And, you know, you're like, well, I don't know. I don't care. Take your pick. They're bad. All right? Take your pick. It's not going to end up here because he's saying, delude you with persuasive argument. Are you listening to another argument? Sometimes we're not even listening to the arguments. You listen to yourself. You turn it off, just like you switch a TV channel, right? You go, I know it's over there. I'll come back to that later. But I'm over on this channel right now. See that no one delude you with persuasive. It's Christ. Christ. Christ is the kingdom. Christ is where your love is. Christ is where your mission is. Christ is where your glory is. It's all there. It's Christ, Christ, Christ. So anything that's going to pull away from Christ, all right? And what you see is the labor and struggle is that there are other things beside Christ, right? Jesus says it simply, right? No one can serve two masters, right? And so you think this is hardball. All we're looking to do is clear out. So you say, yeah, that's it. All I want is Christ. Good. The people that all they want is Christ are thankful for every resource God has given to help them focus on Christ. The people who all they want is Christ are thankful for every resource. They don't get to every resource. You're not going to be perfect. You aren't Christ. He's Christ. You're not going to be me. I'm not going to be you. You're not going to be her. You're not going to be him. Not envy, jealousy, all this. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. You don't, you know, you're like, well, I'll never do it like them. Yeah, that's, stop. Look at Christ. Christ. That's where your focus is. Your mission comes from. Your love comes. Your security. Your forgiveness. It's all over this passage. You look in here, you go, what do I get if I focus on Christ? What do I get if I focus on Christ? If you went through and collected in your grocery bag all those things, all right? That's what you lose when you're not focused on Christ. You go, well, I have him or I don't. I want you to know how great a struggle I have on behalf of you and all those who have not seen my face. I want you to know how great a struggle I have. It is not going to be natural for you to keep Christ as the focus. Christ. You say, I'm a Christian. Okay, good. Christians recognize that there's many things that are distracting. And they run to Christ. They abide in Christ. It is not just, it is your will, but it is also your desire. If Christ, I go back to that Puritan quote, till sin be bitter, Christ won't be sweet. All right? Until sin is bitter, Christ won't be sweet. But when sin is bitter, Christ will be sweet. All right? So we don't hate sin enough. And sin is not an action. Sin is not the dirty little thing. Sin is whatever you're finding more pleasurable than being found in Him and doing His will. There's energy. There's adrenaline. See, I need that. If you talk to me personally, I'll tell you more what's going on in my head. And you go, oh, well, I don't know. Is that very holy? Why don't you help Christ to be formed in me? Help Christ to be formed in you, so that we may be knit together in love. Was there another hand somewhere? I'm good.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah, go.
To illustrate Paul's sufferings and his hurt, when he shares all of the things he went through,
yeah.
Shipwreck,
yeah, yeah,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On that list, the concern
for all the churches.
Churches.
Right. And remember when it says that we're not to worry, cast all your anxiety on him, that's the same word that's used there. On top of all of it is the constant worry. See, that's where you go, well, worry is always sin. No, let's define those words. The weight, all right? I think it's the same word as the seeds, the thorns, the thorny soil. It says the cares of the world, the weights of the world. He said on top of all is the concern, the weight for all the churches. That's why we're thinking, our country's going to pot. I need solar energy. I don't care. Do it. Fine. But on top of all of it is the wait to see your kingdom come and your will be done. I got to lose weight. Remember I said my daughter had to gain weight. She was so excited to gain weight so she could give plasma. I thought, geez. All right? You got to give blood away and you're going to gain weight to do it. All right? But who cares? On top of all of this is the wait for the church. Who are the churches? It says in here, the body of Christ. Christ is the reason the church is important. If Christ isn't important, the church won't be important to you. It will be important for the wrong reasons. Okay? Where is it? Here? I thought I saw a hand. Okay. Okay. All right. Go, Tracy. Go. Yes. Yeah, good. Go.
Oh.
Yeah, the wonderful microphone. Go ahead.
And I get we're supposed to wrestle, we're supposed to
right.
struggle, we're supposed to
right.
press on, you know. But I need application here. So mm-hmm. when you're saying that we need to help each other have Christ be formed in them,
right.
Tell me, what is it, you know, you said in the beginning that we're failing.
Right.
So give me application. Tell me, what is it you're looking for me
to
do?
You need to be so immersed in my life that you know every sin that's going on in my life. And that you are
but
running.
How do I do that? I can't do that with everybody.
By starting with one. We start with one, and then it leads. She's right. She's right on the application. She asked it. Olga asked it. I'm coming back to Olga's here in another week. That's what I'm saying. It needs time. You're exactly right. The thing is, we don't see this as the problem because we don't see it as a focus. Here, since I'm good at dropping bombs. I care about every one of the children that are here on Thursday night. Why is it a bomb? Because some of you will be saying, yeah, I know, and I don't want you to care that much for my kid. What do I care about? Your business, you figure out if they have cavities or not. I don't know. No, you're doing it right. When, yes, we take somebody under your wing, it's fine. Take me under your wing, I take you under my wing. See, now we get into the thing of, well, who's more mature? Who's guiding who? Who's, I don't know, but it has to start with being close to each other. Then you'll say, season of life, and I can't get there, and I got all these other things, how do I do all this? I'm not looking for that. See, that's what I said as we talk in Sunday school about the roots, not the fruits. Remember I told you, you want to figure out how to get this right? Think about all your sins. Where do your sins fit, right? Remember Jim Berg? Everybody knows how to meditate because everybody knows how to worry. Okay, well, if we know how to worry and carry our own burdens, where does worry fit? Oh, it fits in the cracks in the middle of the night. Where does this start? Taking the directory. You don't have time. It's not fitting into your schedule. You're overwhelmed. You can't breathe. What do? You glance at one face in that directory and say, Lord, I know nothing about this person. I don't know if it'll ever work. They always leave before I can get to them at church. I'm not with them. I don't know how to be there more. I don't know. My kids are all over the place, or my husband wants to leave, or my wife wants to leave. Fine. Put them in your heart. Why? Because the head of the church wants them in your heart. Just put them in your heart. You say, well, I can't. Guys, here's where I'm going with the youth group thing. I've spent hundreds of hours. We might be able to say thousands over the years. I can't control where they go. I can't control you. I can't make Christ be formed in you. But I can strive toward that end. Where does it start? By realizing I can't help all the Christians in the world. Who are the Christians that he has put me with? It has to start with them in your heart, right? That's where sin starts, right? It says, it's not what comes out of the... It's not what goes into the mouth that makes you defiled. It's what comes out, right? So it starts by putting us in each other's heart. Why? Because we're Christ's. Not because they're mine, not because they're yours. So because I want to play this further, your kids aren't yours. My kids aren't mine. I'm responsible. But see, if you're not careful, responsible turns into ownership. It said in here, I'm a steward. So therefore, everything I do in Nicole's life, I'm going to answer to God for what I do. But it has to start with including Nicole. Why? Because she looked and trusted Christ and said, I want to be transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son. And I looked up there, and I've received then so much that I look and say, what do you want me to do? And he says, feed my sheep. And then you go, well, who? You go, how does this fit with my job and my personality and my, I don't know. But that's why if you think all or nothing, like practical, like I can't be you. No, you're missing it. Just put her in your heart. Put him in your heart. Do you know what I think about? I think I wish I had an hour to be able to go sit with him, sit with her. Well, that one's tricky because that one thinks that I think, that she thinks that I think, that she thinks. I don't know. I still wish I could get a little further with her. You go, well, we can't do that. Some of the rest of us have a life. I got it. Where does sin fit? In the cracks. If anybody's in here struggling with sexual sin, where did it fit? On Saturday night at 7 o'clock? No. Fits in the cracks. Where does your worry fit? In the cracks. Where does what we're talking about fit? In the cracks. Right down in the bottom of your heart. And you go, I don't know if it'll ever happen. If you knew me enough, you'd know there's a lot of things that I wish for in my life, in my family's life, that I don't think will ever happen, but it's still there in the cracks. I want it. The root to all of this is love for God and following Christ. See, the reason I say I'm dropping bombs is it wouldn't be so much of a bomb if we loved God and followed Christ. What is his labor for? What is it for? That their hearts may be encouraged. How are they going to be encouraged? Having been knit together in love. But that's not it. Verse 2. And attaining to all the wealth that comes from the, read it, full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Here's the point. It's going to take forever. I don't expect. If any of you said, fine, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go care for her. I'm going to go care for him. You know what happens in here? A lot more drama, not a lot less. Well, I tried to talk to her and she told me this. What? Can you believe she told me this? You know, well, did you think? No, I don't think I'm mature, but she shouldn't have said that. Okay. Well, she thinks she's more mature. He thinks he. Yes, that's what happens. And you know what we need to do? Run back to Christ. And then some of our personalities, when we get conflict, you talk more. Some of our personalities, we talk less. Good. What do? Get established in Christ. While all the time there's different arguments going around, I'm concerned. See, Paul doesn't say, if you follow this little pattern, you will have success. I don't see that in here. See, that's what I think. I think we're looking for something that we can do. We want to see it work. And I'm saying what you see in here is Paul working. If you went to, is it Philippians? It says, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Poured out? There's nothing left of you. There's nothing left. I'm not looking for to beat on us endlessly. I'm looking to say, if we don't even head in this direction, we're missing the mission he's called us to do. And you say, well, then I'm failing. How do you deal with failure? It's all over this passage. The forgiveness of our trespasses came from him. The forgiveness of your trespasses now. The forgiveness of the trespasses you'll see tomorrow, it comes from him. You can be secure, and it's not in you're getting it perfectly, but it's where you're heading. If you love Christ, you'll say, Lord, direct my gaze and help me to head in this direction. Pastor, go. Jonathan, go. Brian. Oh.
Passage. Mike,
thank you.
Quickly in Colossians 2:2.
Yes.
Wait. Nope, 2:1. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and those in Laodicea, or struggling for you in Laodicea, once he hasn't even met. And how is he doing that? In 28, 29, he's teaching people, admonishing,
go.
And 29, well, then
yes.
29, he says
we'll
the same thing. He's
that.
Contending
yeah.
In other places. It's in prayer and... So at least just looking at teaching and prayer, we can always be laboring, struggling for people mm-hmm. in prayer. That's one way to love souls and care for people. And ultimately, that's the biggest thing that we can do, I think, because God is the only one who can ultimately work in people. But and then after that, he's struggling in teaching, and that's not just teaching from a position of eldership or
right.
being an apostle, but that can be individual, and there's a lot of pieces in that. Like, to teach, we have to know God's
mm-hmm.
word.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many pieces, and it
right.
and it reaches all the way down to the way we live our lives. But ultimately, I think this isn't saying there's one cookie cutter way to do it.
Right.
We all do it in different
right.
roles
right.
to bring the well to bring everybody fully
complete
mature in Christ.
Christ. Right.
We have different roles in the body of Christ. You're an elder,
right.
And we're lay members
right.
serving. And then even outside the church, he's working to build disciples. He's
yeah.
doing missionary
right.
working missionary
right.
efforts for people he hasn't even seen.
Right.
He's
right.
praying for them.
Right.
But. Yeah.
Right. All right. So remember what we said? Christ is the center. Remember what I said? Don't just hear we're failing at discipling. What will improving in discipling be? Seeing Christ in it. Speak Ephesians 4:15-16, which the youth group I'm making them say every week. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. All right, Matthew 28:19-20. Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What are the all things? What would it mean to grow up in Christ? You say, well, take them under my wing. You're misrepresenting Christ. You go, well, you're misrepresenting Christ. You're right. But somehow we study Christ together. What is he proclaiming? We proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man, woman, complete in Christ. Their danger is, see, when I say I work with the youth, you guys are the big youth group. You're going to pick up bad as well as good from whoever, all right? Your kids are picking up bad as well as good from you. Sometimes it's not even your sins. They'll pick them up. But sometimes they will react against parts of your personality, and they will pick up another side. Sometimes you're saying, thankful, good, they picked up the right as they reacted against me. Many times they'll be running away from the thing you wanted most because it got lost in all the other things. Okay? That happens individually in relationships. It happens in your family. It happens in the church. We're in a time of reaction against, all right, this kind of teaching here. I know this is tough, but you break my heart if all you hear is we're failing at the application. You're proving my point. You're focused on the application instead of the root. The root is proclaiming Christ. I told you, the book the ladies are reading, Praying with Paul, go read that. Go through Paul's prayers and say, does my prayer life look like what Paul's praying for? If you would pray for these things, including if you say, John David's driving me nuts, well, will you pray for your pastor? Pray. You say nothing will change him? Do you know that I feel that about some of you guys? You know my kids will feel that about me? Pray to the one who is able. And praying draws you to him as you grow in all aspects to him, and that's what bleeds out of you. Then you care. You do the work of the kingdom. Who is it, Pastor? Roots, not fruits? Yeah.
I get it.
Right.
I'm getting it.
Go ahead.
But in the fruits, we also reveal things.
Yes.
More specifically to what Tracy asked, yeah, and so forth.
Go, sir.
Getting to know the body of Christ, having them on our hearts as individuals.
Right.
Being alert to what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I will...
Yeah, go ahead.
Bombs is what
yeah,
you
yeah,
call it.
Yeah.
But again, prayer meeting. As yeah. you pray with people,
yeah.
we expose ourselves. Some of us do not pray because we do not want to expose ourselves. I don't believe that's biblical.
Right.
But you pick up on that. Even favorite songs that are chosen on Sunday nights reveal things about where a person is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting too descriptive,
yeah, yeah.
and so forth. So it's spending time with one another, but it's picking up on those cues. Mm-hmm. Tracy, as I came in here this morning, you were talking to 3 or 4 or 5 different ladies or whatever. That's the positive side. That's what.
Yes.
That's good.
That's what.
That's
we
what
do.
You want, need to be doing.
Right.
But again, just being alert to prayers.
Right.
Talking specifically.
Right.
I'll let it go.
Right. The very things that we're afraid of other people talking about. All right. We have to get to the place where the armor of God is on us so that we're able to say, hey, they can say what they want. Remember I told you it took me years to appreciate backseat drivers? That I realize when I'm defensive and I shut them all up, then I lose the possible protection from an accident or something else. Sometimes I can't think, and I've told the people that. Say, go ahead, say whatever you want, but if I snip at you, it's because I can't think and I'm afraid I'm going to wreck. But go ahead, say it. If you shut them all down, you miss out. What I'm saying is there's reward in the chaos. Where is it? Where is it? You will grow as you turn towards these people. It will force you to go back to Christ. I hear you loud and clear, meaning when I get discouraged, and I am at times, not just now, but there's a season, I feel the weight of, I believe it's fully right, but what do you do? If they're not seeing it, that's back to Olga's question. That's the next slide, and we're not going to quite get there today. Okay? What do? And you say, well, you just continue. But you can't continue without pointing out the direction. Then you step back and you pray, you proclaim, you study, and then you turn around and get back in again. It's a slow process. You can't get there from here, which is why we need to know him. Who was it? Was it here, Yuri? Darren? Darla, go.
I was thinking I was saying this after Tracy was asking, and I wanted to, without mentioning the other person, I wanted to, was thinking about someone that right. I've been, actually it's mostly texting.
Right.
So it's during the week.
Yep.
And it's sharing hearts and sins and struggles.
Right.
In the thick of life.
That.
And it's been sharing verses, ideas.
That.
Like we said, like, you know, why are we struggling with this? What's the root? What's the heart issues?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really precious. And actually, as it's enabled me to be my mind during all the days of life, struggle. My mind is a constant struggle of my sin, which is, I'll mention my sin, not the other person's sin,
is
jealousy and comparing and thinking I'm not doing good enough and on and on. And it's been really cool because this relationship, in particular, of discipling each other, as what I feel like it is, perfectly, has been helping me to overcome my sin. So there. Instead of constantly thinking, oh, everyone else is doing better, and I have ground to say, oh, this person's struggling. Oh, I'm constantly thinking of this person and pray for their struggles. And so it's been helping me overcome my sin as I'm,
right there. Yeah. There is a living testimony of what we're talking about. All right, this is this question. This is about five questions down. Look, what do we need to do to strengthen this germ of following Jesus in our lives individually and as a church? Ellie, write down on here that Jonathan said that preaching and teaching, okay? Verse 28, we're on a different question, so I got to put that. Colossians 1, 28, we proclaim him, okay? They said, I'm going to use Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, but you could use any one of those. What are you praying for yourself and others? That was that verse that says, I can't remember, because I have you in my heart. I wish I could remember that. She just said, you want to get really practical here with that? Saying, move towards them. Who are the them? The ones that God has placed you with. When I say roots, not fruits, all right, the funny thing is our fruits are showing every day. I'm not trying to get rid of the fruits. You're showing them. I'm showing them. The fruits are all over the place. But we're saying the focus should be that on the right source. That's how you get all wacky groups, because everybody goes, I want that. Well, then they go, here's how you get that. And you don't care where the source came from. You want Christ to be the source, okay? So proclaim Christ. Christ is center, okay? Christ is center. All right, text in the cracks. Carefully handle what here and go to Christ. What happens when you text, though, and that's where you say, remember, their hearts being knit together. If texting drives us away from each other, you're not following the goal of this passage. If texting draws us to each other, then you're lifting up Christ. Okay? All right, so we didn't get to the things that, what are the inhibitors, the things that stop it? We did two of them last week. We'll do the next two, not next week, because you get the church history week, all right? Because I'm gone next Sunday morning. You get church history. We're going to come back and look at the inhibitors, the things that stop this, the things that get in the way of us discipling. You've done a good job, all right? I'm very happy with the responses here. It's tough stuff. Please, please, if you walk away saying, I can't get it, I don't want it, I'm begging you guys to just look at any commentary on Colossians 1 and 2. Just look at any commentary, and they go, all right, this is in the ballpark. How would I head there? How would I head there? Not how would he head there, not how would she head there. Because you hear what Darla said? I don't think Darla's alone to say we compare ourselves with others. And that's where jealousy and envy and discouragement and all the other stuff come. So Darla hung herself. She said publicly what she was saying on texting. You go, oh, I think Darla should. What should she do? Careful. She's not you. But she wants to be full in Christ. Will you pray for Darla this week? And as you pray for her, think, where do I relate? And where do I have something else? Lord Jesus, I am thankful for every single one in this room. I'm thankful when we talk about a godlessness, a lack of fear of you. We talk about deluded by persuasive arguments. Lord, it's a gift to have any that are anywhere near saying, I have found life in Christ. I want to be found in him. I want to serve him. I want to know him. Lord, help us as we feel tired, as we may feel overwhelmed by our own sins or the differences between us and the people, our own household, let alone the people in our church. Relatives, work, it's just noise. Father, we need to see the treasures of following you. We need to see the incomparable worth, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. We need to see the treasure of being loved and cared for right where we are. Would you work that in us in a way that we're not content to be fully formed ourselves, but that you would expose more weaknesses and sins as we attempt to love our neighbor. Would you help us? Our society's not good for continuing with relationships. It isn't just in divorces. It's in hurts, broken friendships. And God, we can't fix it all. But we look to you, who has crossed the biggest gulf to transfer us to the kingdom of your beloved Son. Would you slowly work the gospel into our hearts in the face of our own inadequacy? And would you help each part of the body, to find life, love, direction, and hope from the same Christ? We come in Jesus' name.